We're in the money. We're in the money.
The theme this morning with our good friend Louise Story, finance and Wall Street reporter for our partner, the New York Times, is a departure of rationality, both from outsiders in the financial world and maybe some insiders we're learning in the financial world. Let's begin in the state of Utah, where some Tea Party politicians have managed to pass something called the Legal Tender Act of 2011, which allows Utah to go back on a kind of silver gold standard?
That's right. So, you know, there are the silver dollars out there.
Right.
You've seen them. They're worth a dollar. But, you know, actually, with the way that currency prices and commodities prices and silver and gold, the way silver and gold have gone up, that means that actually that little coin that we say is worth a dollar is worth $38 if you went by the price of silver. And so what they're saying in Utah is, okay, let's use these gold and silver coins, but let's use them based on their value in the international gold and silver markets, not on their value that the U.S. Mint has stamped on them.
So what do we do in Utah? We go out and buy a bunch of Bunsen burners and some crucibles and melt down our quarters and 50-cent pieces and dollars and
you know, I don't know that a lot of people are doing this yet, but it is legal in Utah. One of my colleagues went around out there and didn't find a lot of stores that were already transacting this way, but he found a lot of people talking about it, as well as a merchant there who's creating a Visa card where you could spend with the Visa card in any store, but the cost that you spend, if you say you go buy, you know, a shirt, the cost will come out in the price of gold or silver. So it won't be tied to the dollar. It'll be tied to gold and silver.
So your coin collection can actually be redeemed for something much, much higher than the face value of the coin, certainly, and maybe even the value of the coin collection in the collector's market.
That's right. Now, one of the problems here is, you know, if you own a lot of gold or silver and it appreciates a lot, you have to pay capital gains tax in the U.S., federal capital gains tax. Utah, with this law, got rid of the capital gains tax on gold and silver. And there's a national movement tied to the Tea Party pushing for the federal government to get rid of it on gold and silver so that more people could more easily transact their daily expenses in gold and silver.
Can the states do that, regulate a federal tax law?
Well, they can't take away the federal capital gains, but they can take away state capital gains. And they did do that. You know, there's also a question about whether states can really engage in setting the currency. You know, in the Constitution, it says that states cannot come up with a different currency. But there is an exception in there that some people in Utah are saying applies when it comes to gold and silver. You know, and that dates back to the fact that in the U.S. a long time ago, until 1933, the dollar was tied to the value of gold. So gold has always, throughout all of history, had this special status as a kind of money.
And indeed, on the dollars was originally printed the promise to pay in an equivalent value of gold. And then
That's right.
An equivalent value of silver and gold or metal. And then there were these gold certificates, silver certificates, that sort of thing. So, all right. So this Utah law is, in a sense, an exploitation of a kind of technicality that exists down through history and is even in the Constitution. But if the state were to actually say, all right, we're not going to value the face value of coins because they don't have any decent metal in them. In other words, if Utah was going to say that quarter, that you think it's worth 25 cents? Well, the federal government says that we don't think so. That would be a shot across the bow.
Well, and this seems a lot more doable in Utah because right now the value of silver and gold is higher than the face value. So again, these coins that say $1 on these silver coins are worth more than a dollar. I think it might be a lot more difficult for people to consider this if the value of the silver and gold were worth less than the dollar.
And indeed, to actually negate the value on federal currency would be a violation of federal law and
right.
an instant confrontation.
Now, you know,
the
bigger
treasury.
Picture here, of course, is that the U.S. government really created a lot of new money during the financial crisis. The Fed, they can just make money out of thin air, essentially. And they did this to help the banks get through the financial crisis. And so there are people out there feeling nervous about the growth of the money supply.
And they just want to get into the action. Hey,
Goldman
Sachs can make derivatives, if the Treasury can print money, we want to get into the action.
That
Let's
too.
Make money, too. And it's gold and silver. It actually has some precedent. Speaking of Goldman Sachs, we learned this morning that Goldman Sachs made a deal with Muammar Gaddafi And that deal went pretty bad. And to recompense the investor, apparently Muammar Gaddafi, they made an extraordinary offer to Gaddafi, which he refused. Take us through this story.
They did. It's an amazing story. So it dates back to 2004 is when the U.S. removed sanctions and allowed U.S. banks to do business with Libya.
And this was because they gave up their nuclear program.
Yes.
And this was a huge transformation in Libya's relationship with the international community.
Absolutely. So it was a new stage of the U.S. relationship with the country. And all these banks, including Goldman, rushed in and said, let us invest your sovereign wealth fund money. It's an oil-rich
nation. Oil producer, yeah.
Right. So Libya passes over $1.3 billion to Goldman. Goldman loses 98% of that money in a few trades during the financial crisis. It invested Libya's money largely in bank stock options. So, of course, you know, in 2008, those banks like Citigroup and Banco Santander did not do very well.
So somebody at Goldman had to call up Tripoli and say, oops, we lost 98% of your money. Here's our counter deal. And what was it?
Well, in the counter deal, and this was all reported in the Wall Street Journal this morning, the counter deal was, okay, well, Libya, if you want, you could be investor in Goldman Sachs. We'll give you the privilege of investing in Goldman Sachs' stock.
So now, basically taking a huge equity position in Goldman.
Right. And it's interesting to me that that's really a privilege offered. But what else is very interesting is these discussions between Goldman and Libya about giving Libya a piece of Goldman as a company came in 2009, right when Goldman was pushing hard to pay back the U.S. government. Remember, Goldman, J.P. Morgan, other banks wanted to get rid of that bailout money. It was tainted. They did not want the U.S. government as an owner of Goldman. But they were out telling Libya, you can be an owner of Goldman.
Outrageous. And of course, in his infinite brilliance, Muammar Gaddafi says no to this deal.
Eventually, he decided it was a little too risky.
Any idea what that had been worth if he'd stayed with it?
The stock has done pretty well since then.
Done pretty well. Muammar Gaddafi's stock, not so well. Louise Story, finance and Wall Street reporter for our partner, The New York Times. Thanks so much.
Thank you.